you're already a member, but somehow you find yourself coming short, we trust that something that we will say this morning, or that you may have already come to the conclusion that you need to repent. We trust that you'll do that, and if you need to confess, then we'd encourage you to do that. Or perhaps you just need prayer for a particular thing in your life, or something that you're going through, or something that somebody else is going through. Prayer is a great tool that God has given his children. The Bible says that the prayers of the righteous man availeth much. We believe that. And so if you need prayer, then please let us know that this day. Again, thanks to all who've come, visitors and members alike. And again, we trust that what we do here today will be pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. This being the fifth Sunday, we want to direct our line of exhortation and reasoning together from the Word of God toward those who are young. Each fifth Sunday we try to, either I or whoever preach, will try to say something to encourage those that are young. But while we're encouraging those that are young, we also will be encouraging all of us who even have the gray hairs like I do. God's Word is for the young and for the old. But particularly, as we've said, on this day, we want to direct our line of thought to those who are young. And we want to thank Brother Jason, one of our young men, for leading our song service this morning. And you'll see other young men that will be participating in the service. And we just want to keep lifting them up and encouraging them, because they will be, if it be God's will, they live longer than us, they will be the church of tomorrow. And so we want to continue to encourage them in all of the ways that are good. Proverbs chapter 1. Thank Brother Smith for reading those passages for us. Let me reread them again just for emphasis. Verses 7 through 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For there shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Let me reread verse 8. This will be the verse that will serve as the basis for our lesson today. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Good advice for the young. Young people, you are special in the sight of God. He made you, therefore, you are special. In Psalms 127 and verse number 3, the Good News translation renders this passage like this. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a real blessing. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a real blessing. Again, that tells me that young people are special. No wonder Jesus even said in one of his teachings, suffer the little children, he says, to come unto me, and forbid them not. For such is the kingdom of heaven. Young people, you're special. The proverb writer gave some good advice that should be followed by young, by old, by all of us. Since then, you are so precious to God, God wants you to have a special relationship with Him. And we as adults, and especially those of us who are parents, have an awesome responsibility to guide our children and our young people in the direction that God wants them to go. No wonder the Bible says again in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, a very familiar passage, I'm sure, to all of us. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. And so, since the young are so special to God, let me share with you some good advice for living a good moral and spiritual life before God. This morning I want to encourage you, number one, to remember God while you are young. Don't wait until the later years in your life to remember God, but remember God while you are young. Why? Because God's word encourages you, instructs you to do just that. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1, perhaps another familiar passage to all of us. Solomon again would write, remember now, the Bible says, thy creator in the days of thy youth. Why, the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. Thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The writer says, remember the Lord in the days of thy youth. No wonder he would say, Solomon again would say, in Proverbs chapter 1 in verse number 8, he says, I want you to remember the words of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. I want to advise you, he says, to remember the teaching that you receive from your parents. And of course, the teaching that they would receive from their parents is inferred to understand that the parents would teach them what God would have them to do. Because when you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, you'll find that Moses taught the parents what they were to teach the children. We won't look at it this morning, but look at chapters, verses 1 through 6, and you'll see there that Moses says, teach your children when they get up, teach them when they lay down, teach them when they go out, teach them when they come in, teach them when they walk by the wayside. So Solomon says, don't forsake the instructions of your father and the law of your mother, because they come from the word of God. And so he says now again, remember now, thou creator, in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Young people, God has a purpose for you. God wants to use you. And God will not and cannot use you if you ignore Him. So don't forget God. God has used people that were young, and God still uses people that are young. The one whose writing we are studying from this morning in the book of Proverbs, Solomon. God used Solomon when he was young. He used him, if you will, to be a king over his people when he was young. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Notice what the Bible says there concerning Solomon. The Bible says, "And Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee." And he goes on in the next passage, "And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth and in righteousness." And in the Bible says, in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And the next passage he says, "And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a what? Little child." I'm young, he says. I don't even know how to go out or to come in. But then the Bible goes on and says in verse number 8, "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude." Verse number 9, he says, "Give therefore thy servant," he says, "an understanding heart." And young people, this ought to be your prayer. This ought to be your desire, that you have an understanding heart. But if you don't remember God, you'll never get the understanding heart. So he says, "Give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and evil," or bad. "For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" What's my point? My point is that God used Solomon as a young man to sit on the throne as a king. And Solomon recognized the fact that he was young and that he needed God in his life to give him an understanding heart, to direct him in the way that he should go. And young people and all of us today, we need God in our lives to direct us the way that we should go, that we may be pleasing and acceptable in his sight. So God used Solomon, a young man, and God used Josiah, a young man, to sit on the throne as a king over his people. In 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1 through 2, notice this, the Bible says, "And he was sure enough a young man." The Bible says Josiah was what? 8 years old. And I praise God for the young people. We've had, the last few weeks, we've had several young people to come forward and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I praise God for them, that they are realizing the fact that they need to remember God. They need to have a relationship with God, a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, even in their young days. So the Bible says Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jediah, the daughter of Adiah. So my point is that here's another young man, 8 years old, when he begins to reign. And as his years would go on, of course, and you continue to read in that chapter, and you see the great things that he did in the service of God, how that he, if you will, tore down all of the idols that was in the land at that time, and how when that book of the law was discovered, and how he rent his clothes, and he wept because he realized that his fathers had not kept the law like they should have. And he went about to restore the worship of God as it should be. And I want to say to us again, young people, you can have a great part in the service of God. Timothy, being a young man, and let nobody look down upon you because you are a young man. And that's what Paul said to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12, Paul said this. He said, "Let no man despise, let no man look down on you. Let no man, if you will, cause you to feel as though you're nobody because you're a young person. Let no man despise thy youth." But he says, "Be thou an example of the believers." How are you going to be an example of the believers? He says, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So Paul says to Timothy, "Let nobody despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers." So I would say, and I would advise those that are young to remember God while you are young. Secondly, this morning, I would advise and encourage you that as you remember God, get familiar with His Word. There are so many things that calls your attention this day, but let one of those things be the Word of God. Oh, I know you got to do your homework, yes. I know you got to do this. I know you got to do that. But make sure that you have a place for God's Word in your life and get familiar with His Word. Come to Bible study. Study God's Word on other occasions. Don't feel like that going to church, so to speak, is out of date for young folks. You go to church and you study God's Word on every occasion that you have the opportunity. Get familiar with His Word, because it's in His Word that we learn about Him and what His will is for us in our lives. Paul told Timothy, a young man again, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we need to study God's word that we might know what His will for us in our lives. There's no way we can do His will unless we know it. Therefore, we need to study His will. And I tell you this morning that His will give us the instructions for how to live in this life so that we can see His face in peace in the afterlife. Yes, indeed, God's word will make us wise to those things that we are to do. 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3, and verse number 15, he says, Paul, as he talks about Timothy, he says, and from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation. The Scriptures will make us wise unto salvation. It will teach us what we are to do to be saved in this life. Yes, indeed, we need to study the Word of God. And as we study the Word of God, put your faith in the Word of God. Learn to believe it and trust it. And let me say this, as you study God's Word, and as you exercise faith, let it become your faith. What do I mean by letting it become your faith? Don't believe it because the Sunday school teacher taught it. Don't believe it because the parents taught it. But you believe it because when you study it, you understand what it says, and you believe it for yourself. Because it's an individual faith. It's not a community faith. It's an individual faith. We need to believe, and that is all of us need to believe God's word for ourselves. I remember what Paul said about himself in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse number 12. Notice what he says. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, he says, I am not ashamed, for I know. Did you see that? He says, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul says, I know whom I have believed. We need to know whom we have believed, not who mama believed, not who daddy believed, but we need to know whom I have believed. So I'm saying to you this morning, young people, and all of us, let's make faith a personal faith. And you know, surveys will tell you that most people, as they grow up, they usually align their faith around their family, what they were brought up in. That's usually the way it happens. Now, I know in later years, as you get out on your own or whatever, you start going in your own directions or whatever. But a lot of people, the reason why they are what they are is because that's what mom and daddy was. Or that's what sister and brother was. That's what they grew up as. But we need to get to the point that we are Christians because we believe God's word to be true. Not just because that's where we've already always gone as we were coming up, but because we have discovered and understood God's word is true, and that God has one way to save everybody, and unless I, as an individual, believe that and obey that, I'm going to be lost. We need to believe that for ourselves. So, young people, don't be a member of the Church of Christ just because Mama was. Be a member because you believe that Jesus died and built one church. And without being a member of that one church, you're going to be lost in a devil's hell. So make faith a personal faith. So Paul says, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So in remembering God, then get familiar with his word and make it become a part of your life, because it's going to be his word that's going to face you and face us in the last day. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, John wrote this on the Isle of Patmos. John says, I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead, he says, were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Young people and all of us, we're going to be judged according to our works. And that's why we need to get familiar with God's word and live our lives according to God's word, because we're going to be judged according to his word. Jesus said this in John 12 verse 48, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words has one that judges him. For the words that I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day. We're going to be judged by the word of God. So we need to get familiar with it. We need to make it apply to our lives. And we need to have a personal faith so that God will say, well done, in the after while. And then thirdly, as you remember God and as you get familiar with his word, then determine to live your life according to the word of God. Make it your aim, make it your purpose, make it your objective to live your life according to the word of God. You need to dare to be a Daniel. Daniel was a young man. If you read your Bible, you realize that he was a young man as he was carried off into Babylonian captivity. And the king there wanted some special young men to stand in service for him. And Daniel was one of several young men that were chosen to stand before the king. But the king wanted to prove them first before they were given the opportunity to stand before him. And the Bible says this concerning Daniel. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8, notice what it says. The Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. Purpose. Let that word sink in your mind. He purposed in his heart. He determined in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the king, the Bible says. He requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel didn't want to do anything that would defile himself. Why? Because he wanted to remain pure in the sight of God. I want to say to you young people and all of us even today that there are many things that will defile you. There are many things that will defile you. Bad habits will defile you. Bad company will defile you. Bad language will defile you. I want to say to you this morning, be like Daniel. Purpose in your heart that you will not defile yourself with all of the things that the world has to offer. Somebody said this about bad habits. They say that bad habits are like a comfortable bed, that they are easy to get into and so hard to get out of. You know, when you get in a comfortable bed, you want to stay there. It's hard for you to get out of that bed because it's so comfortable. That's the same way it is, they say, about a bad habit. And I think that's a true saying. Bad habits are easy to get into, but when you get into them, you find yourself lacking them, and you don't want to give them up. Drinking, for example, that's a bad habit. But folks get into it, and they like it. and they don't want to get out of it. I want to say to you, don't start anything that's bad, that's wrong, because it's hard sometimes to quit it. Some things are easy to get rid of. If you don't really like that thing, it's easy to get rid of. But you get into something that's wrong and you like it, it's hard to give it up. So don't let bad habits take over you, young people, because they are like that comfortable bed. It's easy to get into, but oh, so hard to get out of. Yes, indeed, bad company will defile you. And that's why Paul told Timothy about bad company. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, Paul said this. He says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow what? Righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I want to say to you young people, look for somebody that want to be pleasing to God as you're looking for people to keep company with. Because if you go back to Proverbs chapter 1, you'll see how the proverbial writer went on to encourage the son that he was writing to avoid certain individuals because they didn't mean any good to him. And look at what the Bible has to say. We may not have it on the screen now, but look at what Solomon said. I want to just read it here for you, if you will. In Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse number 10, he says, my son, if sinners entice thee, he said, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lay privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. He says, cast not thy lot among them. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. In essence, Solomon is saying that these sinners, these individuals, they don't mean any good. Don't follow them. Don't choose them to be your associates. Don't walk in their way, because they'll lead you down the path of destruction. My friend this, my friend that. If a person is going in that direction, they're not truly your friend. Choose some friends that want to do right, that want to serve God, that want to please God. Choose the right type of associates. And that even leads to the next point that I wanted to tell you about. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As we're talking about these bad habits, these bad languages, he says there, be not deceived. Evil communication, he says, corrupt good morals or good manners. So I want to say to you again, choose your associates right, that they will help you to please God. We need to have associates that help us to please God. We need to help one another to please God. We talked about encouragement this morning in the Bible school lesson. We need to encourage one another to please God. Yes, indeed, bad company can be a detriment. And then Solomon says again in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 14, several passages there. We won't read all of them, but look at what he says there. He says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. He's virtually saying again, in summary, what he said in chapter 1. The next passage he says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. And even if you have to do like Joseph, you remember him? If you got to run, run away from it. The next passage he says in verse 16, he says, for they sleep not. He's talking about these evil men. He said, they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. I want to tell you, young people, and all of us, that there are some folks that are not satisfied unless they do wrong. They'll stay up all night figuring out how to do wrong. So Solomon says, you avoid those kind of people. Verse 17, he says this, for they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. 18, he says this, but the path of the just is as the shining light. This, if you're going to follow somebody, if you're going to get hook up with somebody, these are the kind of people you want to hook up with. The path of the just is as the shining light. Look for folks again that are doing the right thing. Is as a shining light that shines more and more until the perfect day. So again, Solomon is teaching that you need to avoid evil associations because, again, they can corrupt good morals. So bad habits, they will defile you. Bad language will defile you. And notice what James says concerning the tongue that we that they use to perpetrate this bad language. James says this in James chapter 3, verse number 8. Notice what he says, but the tongue, he says, can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. You know what deadly poison will do? It'll snuff your life out. Tongue, he says, is full of deadly poison. And then he goes on and says in verse number 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith do what? Curse we men. Isn't that a contradictory? You bless God on one hand, and you turn around and you curse men or curse somebody else on the other hand. And he says this. He says, we curse men which are made after the similitude of God. So in essence, you know what we're doing when we curse somebody? We're cursing God. Because men are made in the image of God. As Jesus would even say in Matthew chapter 25, when he talked about those individuals that didn't really do the right thing toward the person that was in need, the one that was in prison, and those kind of, he says, inasmuch as you did it not unto them, you did it not unto me. And the ones that really did it, he said, inasmuch as you did it to them, you did it to me. Same analogy. Same analogy. If we curse somebody, it's the same as cursing God. Now, who in here this morning would want to hold their hand up and say, I feel good cursing God? But yet we'll curse one another. Oh, you see what the tongue will do? It'll defile you. That's the point that I'm making. It will defile you. And then the Bible goes on and says in the next passage, verse number 10, he says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. And then he says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. What is he saying? He says, God. Basically, he's saying God's not pleased with that. And anything God is not pleased with is a sin. So we need to eradicate that out of our lives if we are guilty of that. What am I talking about? Bad language will defile us. No wonder Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, he said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. Fully edifying. Yes, indeed. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, encouraging, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So we need to be careful then, young people and all of us, how we talk to one another, because it can defile us. So bad habits will defile us, bad company will defile us, bad language will defile us. Therefore, then, one needs to be sober-minded. One needs to have his mind under control so that he'll be able to say the right thing and do the right thing. We need to keep our minds on wholesome things, not filthy things. Paul said this as he writes to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4, and verse number 8 and 9. Notice what he says. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. And then he says, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, he says, do what? Think, concentrate, meditate on these things. Put your mind on those things, not on those filthy things and corrupt things. You need to think about good things. In verse number 9, he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So Paul is saying, now, use me as a pattern. Use me as an example. You've heard these things. You've seen these things in me. He said, you learn them. Now do them, and the God of peace will be with you. We want the God of peace to be with us, don't we? Then think about the right thing. Do the right thing. Live the right way in the sight of God. Yes, indeed, young people, you need to have sober minds. Respect older people. Honor your parents. And then lastly this morning, if you do these things that we've talked about this morning, you'll be blessed. We go back to what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 9. Notice what he says there. He says, for they shall be an ornament of grace. He's talking about what he had just talked about. Well, go back again. Go back, start it all over again, if you will. Verse number. He said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. He's talking about this advice that he's just given him. And then he goes down in verse 9, he says, for they shall be an ornament of grace. The instruction of your father and the law of your mother will be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. What is he saying? You'll be blessed if you abide by the instruction of your father and the law of your mother that they get from God. Young people, you want to be blessed. All of us want to be blessed. Then do these things that we've talked about this morning. You'll be blessed and greatly blessed. Psalms 1, verse 1 through 3. The psalmist says this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth on the seat of the scornful. But the Bible says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law does he meditate day and night. And notice the blessings, verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He's going to be blessed, the one that would do the will of God. So I'd say to you again, as Solomon says, if you just obey what I've told you, that's Solomon talking, you'll be blessed. They're going to be like ornaments of grace upon you. Oh, yes, he was talking about God was going to bless them. Yes, indeed, young people, if you do these things, you'll be wise. Start thinking now of the future. Start thinking now about eternal salvation. Start thinking now about service to the Lord. Yes, indeed, you need to start thinking now, because there's no guarantee that you live to get old. So that's why, again, he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So if you do these things, you'll be wise. If you do these things, you'll be strong. If you do these things, you'll be useful to God. Yes, indeed. Start now. Start that spiritual exercise now. You don't wait until you get old to start exercising so you can become strong, but you start while you're young. So start your spiritual exercise now. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8. Paul said this to his young son in the gospel, Timothy. He says, but refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Verse 8, he says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So I want to say to you again, yes, you can do your bodily exercise, but remember there's an exercise that's more important than bodily exercise, because it only profiteth little. But godliness, exercising yourself to godliness, studying God's word, doing God's word, living as God has directed for you to live, it has a promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. If you do God's will, you can have a good life now. Even though things may not always go your way, but you can still have a good life now by doing God's will. And certainly you can have a good life in that which is to come. So again, Solomon says, my son, listen. Basically, he said, listen to the instruction of your father. Listen to what your daddy is saying. And don't forsake, don't ignore what your mom is telling you. Because they're telling you what my word says. They've been taught, they're now teaching you. So I want to say it to you again. Be willing to hear the word of God. Be willing to apply the word of God in your life. And you'll be blessed. We all want to be blessed. The only way we can be spiritually blessed is to live according to the will of God. So as I close this morning, I want to encourage all of us, young and old, don't ignore God's word. Let it become a part of our lives. Walk, eat, and sleep the word of God. In other words, just let it engulf us so that we will live as he has directed for us to live. And we'll be blessed. In this life, we'll be blessed. And much more in the life to come. Thank God for that blessing which is to come. So let's live like God has directed for us to live. So if you're here this morning, young or old, and have not submitted your life to Christ, I want to encourage you to do that this morning. How do you do it? You hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. You repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. You confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10:9-10. You go down in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. And the Lord will add you to his church. You become a member of his church and you live faithfully unto death. And he says, I'll give you a crown of life. Living faithfully unto death means more than just coming to church every Sunday. It means living a daily life of faithfulness. What if Jesus called you from labor, and the Lord called you from labor to reward on Monday? If you're going to wait till Sunday, well, I live faithfully yesterday. Today is Monday, so I don't have to live faithfully. The Lord called you from labor to reward. What's your excuse? What's your answer going to be? We're all going to have to answer. So I want to say to us, live faithfully 7 days a week. Do the will of God. Live faithfully unto death. So if you're a member of the body of Christ, somehow you messed up on Friday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You messed up somewhere along the way. I want to say to you, repent of that. And if you need to confess, do it. If you just need prayer, whatever your need is this morning, we beg you to come as we together stand and sing. That one that will come. Will you come? Will you come? Oh.